Welcome to the Teaching Self-Government Podcast with Nicolene Peck. Improving your life, uniting your family, changing the world.
Welcome to the Teaching Self-Government Podcast. I'm Nicolene Peck, and I am joined here with my daughter, Paige Baumert. Hi, Paige.
Hello.
Paige. Today, we are going to talk about what we want our children to remember, about their growing up years, about us, about what happened during their childhood. I am a bit of a romantic, and I know that there are a lot of people out there who probably have these ideas in their head about, you know, what they wish their childhood would have been like and what they want their children to think their childhood is going to be like and what they want them to remember. And then there's the reality, right, of like what happens and on the day to day. And so I think this would be a good time for us to talk. You know, you're a young mom, you've got those fresh dreams. I had those dreams, and I have now raised my children. Making dreams for my grandchildren and stuff. And just let's talk about what it takes to get close to those dreams. And let's talk about what to do when the real day-to-day life sets in, you know, and that kind of stuff. But before we do that, Paige, let's talk about something fun that we can do. In fact, maybe something that would be a new kind of a memory that you could make with a child. What kind of ideas do you have?
Well, recently we went to a family function where one of the activities they had was, what did they call it? It was a flower bar. That's what it was. And they had a whole bunch of different kinds of flowers in like their own containers. So, you know, groups of daisies and baby's breath and whatever else. But they had these little vases that you basically got to create your own flower arrangement from the flowers that were provided. And it was such a cute idea. And so, you know, everyone, they picked a vase that they wanted. You know, these could be vases you buy on Amazon, or, you know, if you're super fun and like to spend time at thrift stores, you go to the thrift store and pick your own vase or whatever. But you got to make your own flower arrangement with the flowers that you were able to find or that were available. And, you know, even though there was like maybe 6 or 7 options for greenery and flowers available, everyone's looked so different. And it was so fun to see everyone's likes and preferences in colors and flower types and stuff in their cute little vases. And it was so fun to just practice and make a beautiful thing just for the point of having a beautiful thing.
And because flowers make you happy.
They do.
I mean, they really do. Even though they don't last forever, they make you happy. And I was making flower arrangements with your girls, especially little Arbor, and it was so cute because she's like 2, you know, and she's like, I want this.
You're like, okay.
I want this. And she didn't, you know, she doesn't want them any particular way. She just wants them. She just wants them in the vase, and that's it. And then, and to see her carrying around this little tiny vase, you know, with like this little glass vase with these
with little flowers
in it. And she was so proud of herself. She was so happy that she had her little flowers. She was just happy. And, you know, her little brother, I mean, I guess he's slightly little.
Twin like, brother.
Yeah, like a minute littler. Anyway, but her brother was like, flower, flower, you know, every time he saw it. And it's so cute. Flowers just make people happy. I loved that idea too. I love it. So much fun. All right, we're going to look through the lens of self-government today, Paige, as we talk about creating the type of memories. And obviously there's special memories like doing a flower bar together as a family, but there's also just the day-to-day stuff that we do. And don't we want that to be memorable? Don't we want that to be beautiful as well? And how do we do that? We're going to talk about that, but we want to look through that lens of self-government. And in case someone is new to the Teaching Self-Government podcast, what does self-government mean? Can you define it for us?
You bet. So self-government is twofold. First is being able to determine the cause and effect of any given situation, and 2, possessing a knowledge of your own behaviors so that you can control them.
Yeah. So that means that you're deliberately living. You're deliberately examining yourself. You are making plans for yourself and you're following through on that plan that you have for yourself. It's a really powerful thing to do. So when we're talking about making a memory or a memorable life for our children, I mean, really what we're doing is in our mind, we're thinking, what do we want it to feel like, right? And then how do we get there and how do we navigate all the tough stuff too? So, Paige, I just kind of want to start with a story. I know, so you're in your
Yeah, you
20s.
bet.
Yeah, you're in your 20s. I'm in my 50s, so there we are. I said it. I'm 51 right now. And you've got three children, one on the way. So you're just like right there.
I'm in the
The
trenches, man.
you actually are really in the trenches in some of the hardest time ever when you have all the babies that have all of the high needs. Like they don't eat all their food unless you say, nope, you gotta have four more bites, or like you're putting it in, right? And you know,
Or
and lit
cutting it all into small size pieces and
Right, and picking up all off the floor once it gets there, and all the little things that happen with the little children. It's a high maintenance time. It's very busy. And so, you know, this is a time where you probably don't want it to feel like stress. You probably don't want it to feel like that your children are a burden to you. You know, you want them to love this time, but it's a lot that you're doing, you know, all at the same time as you're raising these
Even though at the
children.
same time, it seems like hardly anything at all, like if you're looking through the world standard lens.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you look at just the feed the children, teach the children, play with the children, that seems basic. There's a lot of nuances to that. There's a lot of
Well, a
pieces to
lot of
that.
energy that goes into that too.
It doesn't when you're expecting to, holy cow, right? There you are with even more energy expended. But Paige, you do this. You mentor people with teaching self-government. You know, with your first child, you were finishing your college degree and going and raising a child. You've been running all kinds of stuff with business. You're supporting your husband as he's trying to, you know, switch his business trajectory and everything. And I mean, there is just a lot that, plus you serve in your church and in your community. I mean, you do a lot of things. You know, I think that's sort of like the world that we live in right now is we all just do so many things. And I don't know whether I set a good example or a bad example for you by doing so many things, but when I was young, I was told, I mean, we're talking, it was right on the heels of the then feminist movement. There's a new feminist movement that's happening right now, and I'm not sure it's as beneficial. The first feminist movement, I don't want to get into feminism a ton, but the first feminist movement was like, hey, women are smart and they should be able to have a vote. And
We need to have opportunities.
it was kind of like a, hey, there's things that we can do. Don't shut us out of certain spaces, right? If we feel like we need to go into that space, if we're single, if we're widowed, if we're, you know, really gifted in a certain area, if we're whatever, then occupationally, let's not put a barrier up for women. But also, you know, the first thing was women should be able to have the same rights in a country as men, like to be able to vote for candidates. And so that was huge. Okay. And anyway, so I remember in our state, Seraph Young, first person to vote. We honor her, first woman, sorry, to vote. We honor her every year. And you know, it's kind of like a big deal. And I think to myself, that is cool. That's cool that there was this moment in time where women's intellectual capacity and moral capacity was honored just as much as men. And I think that's important. But then there was all these different waves of feminism, you know, second wave feminism that was just like this attack on motherhood and stuff, and this like just basically an abortion movement, and then third wave feminism, which, you know, is this wave of like, wait a minute, what does it mean to be a mother? Have I been sold a bill of goods? How can I do it all and still be the mother I want to be instead of shunning motherhood? And so there's, you know, but at the flip side, there's a whole bunch of people going, but I probably should wait forever and ever before I am a mother, before I have, because they want everything perfect. It's like the
Well, and
wave
figuring out a
of, I better be
career
perfect.
first and stuff like that.
Yeah, which is okay, but it's like this whole idea of like perfectionism that everything has to be so perfect, and there's just such a weight that's on the shoulder. So I was raised after, I would say, second wave feminism, but I really was taught like you could do anything that you want to. And so I did, you know, I studied and I did sports and I did dance and I did creative things and I did like all the things. And so I really did, my parents did really help me become this Renaissance woman. And so I was this career woman and I was making all this money. And I was like, but I actually want a family. And so started
Well, because they
doing.
instilled a very strong prior or high priority of family and a strong love for family as well.
Well, yeah, and it really always was my top priority to have my children and my family. And so then it was, how do I mix that? How do I do that? So for a few years, it was like, okay, I had this child, and now how am I going to care for him and work? Can I work at home sometimes? Can I alter my work schedule? How do I mix this up? Can my mom help me tend that? You know, and you're working out all these details to try to make it happen. And I worked and worked to help my husband grow a business and everything so that we could. I mean, and we had no money. We were broke, broke, broke. But I was like, I want to just focus in on my children. And no sooner do I do that than my husband loses his job and he switches, you know, careers again and all this stuff. And I was like, how am I going to maintain my family? And basically, it was like, okay, well, I'm going to do foster care. And so I took in treatment children, I took in foster children, and I had them in my home. And that's what paid for our bills while my husband went back to school and all of that kind of stuff. And I mean, I did a lot of things. And during this time, I was like, I think I want to homeschool. I mean, could I be more insane? Like the world might think, what in the world is wrong with you? You know, but my family and my children were always number one to me. But there was this point, okay, there was this point, Paige, where I said to myself, okay, there's a lot of good things here, Nicolene, and you can do all of the stuff. You can do everything as good as you want. As you've gotten all the accolades, the awards from the best business person, made this much money, got your family out of debt. You know, you've done all these things. But really, really, at the end of the day, when you're an old woman in your bed, what do you want? What do you want? Who do you want to be there? What do you want the story to be? And the story was family. I want my children to love their family. I want them to want to have a family. I want them to want to be there. I want them to care about me. I want to care about them. I want them to look back on their childhood and say, wow, my mom gave us her all. She gave us the best of everything she had, and she loved it. And we want to love it. And they just remember smiles and laughs and songs and poems and running around the yard. And I wanted them to have memories like that. And so I decided that I was going to prioritize my day. And I sat down and I made a list of everything that I do. And I said, okay, well, what's most important? And studying scripture, so God and my children and my relationships were the most important. And so I made that list of all those things. I started prioritizing what was the most important. And then I said, okay, well, how am I going to spend my time then? Because I still had to do stuff to make money for the family at the time. Or after that, I was doing this teaching self-government mission to help other families. And I felt I was really supposed to do it, even though I wasn't taking a paycheck for it. I still felt like I wanted to do it, but I had to figure out how to fit it in. And the only way to fit it in was to be totally self-governed with my time, but also when I'm with the people to be all in, which means no distractions and stuff. And this was before everyone
Well, this was
had
also,
a computer in their
I
pocket.
was going to say, yeah, this was before smartphones and stuff. I remember you guys having your Blackberries, and those were new and fancy.
Yep. They were distracting enough. Just
Yeah.
being able to get the call no matter where you are is distracting enough. You could be at the zoo. I could be at the zoo with my family, and I could be on the phone with somebody the whole time and never actually be at the zoo.
Yeah.
And that crushed me. Every time something like that happened, it crushed me. Now there's moments of imbalance, but man, if you don't have mostly moments of balance, everything starts to fall apart.
Yeah, well, imbalance does change too, because I remember, I mean, as one of your children who went through all of this with you, just in a different perspective, on a different track, there were moments where we're like, oh, mom is really busy right now. But we were never worried about it because we knew that as soon as you were done with whatever it was you were doing, you were right back there with us. And, we were making homemade donuts, or we were driving into the big town, that was an hour away to go and do something. And sometimes you take us along with you for the ride. You're like, well, mom has a business thing an hour away. You guys are coming with because we're gonna go do something fun afterwards. But you guys are gonna have to wait, through this meeting with this person, and then we're gonna go do something fun. So whatever. So we learned patience. We learned that, mom isn't there just to cater to our whims and to all of our wants and desires, but that you were important to other people as well as us, and that we had to spread the love, and that we had to be patient, but that we knew ultimately that you were ours, and you would always come back to us and make sure that we were set and that we had the attention and devotion that we needed.
Well, because my favorite part was actually spending time with you guys. I think there's a lot of people who they look forward to what they can do for themselves. Like, okay, I'm gonna go and have this experience myself. Maybe it's at the spa or whatever it is.
Yeah, or this
And
me time, or yeah.
yeah, and they look forward to that to fill their bucket. But I
Which I
told
see where they're coming
myself,
from. I do.
well, I'm not saying it's bad to go in. Absolutely not. But what I am saying is that, I told myself, I literally told myself, I programmed myself. And I said, my favorite thing, my most important thing, the thing I'm going to remember for my whole life is going to be what moments that I get to have with these children, the conversations, the snuggles, the problems solved, the tears wiped, that is going to be what I value more than anything else. And so that's going to fill my bucket. And so I just dove all in every second. So I'd go and I'd have a meeting or I'd do something, and then I'd just dive all in. And I was like, I forgot about the meeting or anything else. And I would just be with my family. And that was it. Because it doesn't matter what else is competing for your attention. That foundation of that family dynamic and the bonds that you have and the functionality within the family is actually the foundation of it all. I mean,
Yeah.
it matters. It doesn't matter how busy you are, that family always has to be that top priority. Otherwise, your whole bucket just runs dry. You just
Well, and
don't have
that's kind
anything.
of where I'm at in my phase of life. Because I mean, like you said, I've been doing a whole lot of stuff with teaching self-government, and I've got church stuff, and I'm, doing music stuff and serving, and I've got my hand in lots of different pots. And so, especially with baby number four on the way, I'm like, okay, I've been married for 5.5 years. We have four children. And I feel like I'm being spread thin. So what needs to come first? What needs to go? What needs to be more prioritized? Stuff like that. As I'm recording, you might hear in the background my daughter calling my name. But I'm realizing that as I try and do all these things, that it's taking me away from what is important. And so I've been trying to dial it back and to tell myself that it's okay, that at this season of life, I don't need to do all of the things, kind of like you were mentioning earlier. And I'm realizing, okay, I need to slow down and I need to tell myself that I will get my fulfillment through spending time with my family. And that's kind of hard for me because I'm a very social individual. Sometimes it's hard to find your social connections with 2-year-olds who are screaming at you and can't communicate properly, and and with a 4.5-year-old who wants all of your attention and is also trying to boss her siblings around. So, trying to
Well, yeah,
manage everyone's
because you're
emotions.
training them, you're training them to learn all this stuff. And
Right.
so it is a different social. They're not saying, "Mom, you're the best and you did that and it
Yes.
was so awesome." They're saying, "Mom, I want some," or "How come? I don't
Yes.
want to."
Yeah.
And then it's like, "Oh, dear."
And so, but because I look back to, my upbringing with my siblings and with you and dad, and I don't remember the younger days. I know you guys do, but the main things that I remember are I was able to play and interact with my siblings and chat with you guys and have intellectual conversations and stuff like that. And so for me at this time, I'm like, okay, how fast can we get to that point where I can actually like have conversations with my children and not feel like I'm just managing emotions all day, right? And so it's been really interesting to try and find where the divisions are and where the priorities need to be placed, but also be able to feel like, okay, I'm still a functioning human. I still am able to find joy in the home, but also have a little bit of time to, fill my cup in other ways so that I can pour into my family. And so it's been really interesting to figure that out and to chat with Joseph and be like, okay, how can I help you here? How can you help me here? And just make it all work together as best as we can. So it's hard at this time of life, especially where, I'm super hormonal and everything feels big and hard and
Yeah, well, I
anyway.
mean, that's pregnancy, right? Like, there you
Yeah.
go. And
Well, this one
each pregnant,
especially.
I was gonna say each pregnancy is a little different, but with this pregnancy, you also have three other little ones that are running
Yes.
around, which is,
Where they're
and
not quite old enough to be of assistance.
they're not self-sufficient.
No.
And I mean Clara a little bit, but they're really not. And so you're having to handle a lot of things, and it can probably seem like you're a little bit drowning, when you
Yeah.
have your hormone levels that high and you're like your body doesn't feel right and nothing feels right. And that's hard. That is such hard stuff. But I think you can still make deliberate actions and
Oh, 100%.
deliberate plans for yourself. And that's really the message of self-government, is that you can decide, you can choose. Like, everyone has a choice. And even in this moment when it's so hard in your life, and you still can say, but wait, what is my priority today? What do I choose? Who
My
needs me
priorities can
most
change
today?
daily as well.
Yeah, well, and they do sometimes. Like, sometimes you're like, no, I have to get everyone to the doctor today, and that's it, right?
But the
And some days,
overarching big priorities should not be changing on a daily basis.
no. And I think that was the thing. So when I was putting my everything into motherhood and just saying, okay, I embrace motherhood as my bucket filler, my saw sharpener, all those things that I needed, and I was going to embrace that as my everything. This is my main job. This is what makes me who I am, and everything else will be better because of it. And I had to trust that. Then I had to say, okay, now I'm going to wake up at 5 in the morning, and I'm going to do my exercise and my study before they get out of the bed, and after they go to bed, instead of watching TV or scrolling a phone or whatever, I am going to study. I'm going to prepare for homeschool. I'm going to prepare for my business stuff that I have to do, or my church things that I have to do, or whatever. And
Yeah.
I just made every minute count. And I know to some people that sounds draining, like, when's the relaxed time? But I also, if you will remember, I said we have 2 sleep-in days a week, Thursday and Saturday. Do you remember that?
You're like, I need those.
Because I needed 2 sleep-in days. I needed Thursday and I needed Saturday to be my
Yeah.
sleep-in days. And so, and if I could get my 2 sleep-in days, then I was okay. And I just kind of planned where those little moments would be that I could just kind of go,
Well,
I'm,
and some people like to be able to like, okay, it's the evening. I have me time. There's no time constraints. I will go to bed when I want to, and I will watch a movie or whatever. But some people, like if they really value their time, they'll say, okay, I have 30 minutes to relax, whatever relax means to me. And then after that, then I go to bed or, whatever it is. And so it
That
just
takes
depends on,
training. If you're
oh
the if
gosh,
you're
yes, you have to.
person A, that takes training to make yourself not stay up till 2 a.m.
For me, really, when it comes to stuff like that, prioritizing that and telling my brain that it's okay, I've had to train myself to get rid of the entitlement portion of it, feeling like I'm entitled to time where that is not scheduled or structured.
That's a
And so I have
really
to say, you know
brave
what, I'm
thing to
structured.
say.
Yeah, well, because it really is an entitlement, when, in fact, a recent example was a couple weekends ago. I went to Colorado for a women's barbershop competition. I'm in a barbershop quartet, and we competed. And there's two people in my quartet who are, very, hey, what are we doing next? What are we doing next? What are we doing next? What song are we learning? This, that, and the other. So, because they like to be on the ball, going, moving, and being productive. And on our drive home, because we drove all the way there, it was like almost a 10-hour drive from where I live to Colorado. So we drove there. It was super productive. We practiced. We did great. We had a fun weekend. Then on the drive home, my mentality was, I'm just going to relax. We did it. We don't need to practice. We're headed home. We're going to relax. And probably about an hour into the car ride, these two other ladies who I love dearly, they said, okay, how about we practice this song? We've got a gig coming up in like a month and a half. We got to have these songs ready to go. Which one do we want to practice first? And my brain went, no, none of them.
So you got entitled right
I
then.
did because my expectation was, okay, this 10-hour drive home, I'm gonna sleep a lot because sleep is great. And we're just gonna have a good time as ladies. We'll just chat and it'll just be a fun, relaxing car ride home.
In the end, it probably didn't
And
put you in a very good mood to do that.
no. And so it was actually an interesting experience because one of the ladies, she's very she doesn't beat around the bush. There is no bush. And so, but she's very direct. And as long as you know her well enough, you know it's coming from a good place. And so, she said, okay, well, I'm ready to practice, but Paige, what is your commitment level right now? Like, are you committed to practicing right now? I'm like, to be honest, my commitment level is very minimal. And she said, okay, that's really good to know because if you're not fully committed, I'm going to get frustrated. So how about let's not practice right now? I said, okay. And then, the other person who's super driven, she's like, well, what if we just like listen to some learning tracks with the lead track? Are you okay with that, Paige? I'm like, go for it. If you guys want to practice, I'm not going to stand in your way. But that is not what I had envisioned for my time during this drive.
So there's a little
And
bit of
so,
a, yeah, a little bit of a kind of a power struggle there in a
well,
way.
not to some degree, like I was willing to participate, but it's kind of against my will, if that makes sense. So,
Yeah,
but the
well,
fact
yeah.
that we were able to chat about it in, a very adult, mature way and say, hey, is this something you're actually wanting to do right now? Because if not, I'm going to get frustrated because we need more from you during this practice session, and I was able to say, no, I'm not committed to it right now. And so they're like, okay, well, we still are. What can we do? Like, are you okay with us, quote unquote, replacing you with a learning track right now? I'm like, totally, go ahead. I have no problems with you guys, using your time how you will. And so, it was really interesting just to see that dichotomy and that whole event play out because I had to learn. I'm like, okay, other people had expectations for this 10 hours of time, driving home. And they wanted to make use of it just differently than I did.
Yeah, but I guess what you're really saying is that you had that entitlement. I mean, that was the part that I was like, that's so brave to say that you've had to face your own entitlement, and I know you're not done with that yet, but when you
No, there are
have an
still definitely times.
expectation, And I think anyone can have that. That's where there's that. If you haven't seen on my YouTube video the class called The Expectation Trap versus the Cycle for Success, I would highly
Good
recommend
class, yeah.
going to that class because
I listen to it myself every now and then, probably a few times a year, just to be like, but yeah.
Yeah, because anyone can fall into that expectation trap.
And I
And
do.
yeah, and so that, well, and that was kind of a moment where actually you sort of probably created kind of a black hole in your
Yeah.
car ride because you were like, well, I'm going to have my boundary and my whatever, and this is what I'm going to do, and I have my expectation, and I'm just going to stick to it. And they were like, well, we have our expectation and we're going to work
Well,
around
it
it.
was a whole mental thing of, okay, where
But
I'm
then you
together
had
with
to.
these four ladies, and it's also like, okay, I've been with them for a full weekend. We're sharing a hotel room. We're socializing with people all day, every day because of rehearsals and whatever. And so, I wasn't ready to instruct myself to say, you know what, get over it. You can have a little bit of time to rest when you get home and have your own time and just practice because this will actually be good for you in the group. I was not willing to give myself that instruction because I was entitled to my expectations.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like you actually kind of gave in to the expectation trap right there. And in the end, even if you did your own thing and you didn't participate, you were probably acutely aware of them and of yourself and how you felt the whole 10 hours, which made the car ride not actually refreshing like you had expected it to be. So in the end, it didn't really work out right. And this is what can happen even with our children or just with our lives, with all the things that we have to do. So, you know,
Being able to let go of those
I
entitlements,
mean,
those expectations.
we could talk about this for so long, and maybe we'll have some other podcasts where we kind of follow up on this topic. But I think at first, just taking a little baby step, a little dip our toe in the water is to recognize there is something called an expectation trap that we could get stuck in. We got to be careful about that. Make sure to go to the YouTube channel and watch that. But then also, we do have pictures inside our mind of what our children might be getting or what we want them to get out of their upbringing with us. And when we get so overloaded with all these things, we could do that same thing that you did on that car ride to our kids. Well, you guys go ahead and do whatever, but I'm gonna do this because this is what I
I'm
wanted
gonna
to
sit
do.
right here on my keister.
Yeah, I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna scroll my phone, and because that's what I wanna do, or I'm gonna play my game, or I'm gonna call my friend, or I'm gonna whatever, and that's what I'm doing. And if we go into our days with this expectation of maybe, and especially if we even groom our expectations with a pri like if our top priority is me time. Our top priority is downtime or entertainment time or whatever it is, then the whole day we're going to be trapping ourselves in that expectation trap. The whole day we're going to make it so that we are coming unglued when our children have a need instead of going, oh, that's what I meant for, you know, and instead of being spontaneous with them. When you make memories, it's deliberate. You know, I mean, some of them are made non-deliberate, but so many of them are actually deliberate.
Deliberate on the parents' part.
Yeah, where you say, oh, you know what? I've got the hose right here and they're right over there. I'm gonna
And
start
it's
a
hot
water
outside.
fight. Yeah, I'm gonna do something right now. Or they're jumping on the trampoline. I'm gonna go out there and just jump on the trampoline and just be silly for a minute. Even if it's just like 2 minutes of silly, the children are like, what? My parent did that? Like, it's just so fun when a parent
And you
will
have to deliberately
play.
overcome yourself.
Yeah. When the parent will engage, the child is just like, it's
Well, I
magic.
know for me, just like last little life, story to go with this, but I know for me, I've noticed recently, especially since being pregnant, is, Clara will ask me to do an activity, or one of the twins will come up to me with a book and they'll want me to read it, or even Clara. And I've had to battle those inner thoughts of, oh my goodness, that book is so long. I don't want to sit here and read that whole book to them. Or oh, they want to play with Play-Doh. Okay, that's an activity that I have to supervise. But I have to go and do some work on the computer. And so it's like I've had to deliberately overcome myself and the initial thoughts that come into my head so that I can connect with my children. And there are parts of me, so I'm going to get emotional. I blame my unborn child. It's fine. But
Or because you're just saying something true.
maybe. But I've realized that those initial thoughts are thoughts from Satan to make it so that I don't have those connection points with my children. And, I recognize that as soon as they happen. And even though I do have that recognition, it can be so hard to overcome those feelings of annoyance. To say, you know what? Although this is inconvenient for what I had in mind for these next couple of hours, I'm going to take 10 minutes and I'm going to lay out the Play-Doh and I'm going to watch her. Even if I don't play it with her, I'm going to watch her. Or, yeah, you know what? I'm going to read this book. And if they want to read it again, then I can give them a new answer. But I have to do something. And I have to overcome these selfish thoughts and selfish desires so that I can be with my family and that they can get the connection that they need with me.
Yeah.
And it can be really, really hard because it happens every day. Anyway, sorry.
No, you know, Paige, I mean, your authenticity, your realistic, I mean, those tears, your heartfelt, you know, just honesty about what goes through your head sometimes is just incredibly refreshing, really, because I think every parent faces those struggles. And for you to recognize there is a force that would want me to not engage with my own child is powerful, because that means you have to win that battle, right? And you have to tell yourself a different way to think. And that is the act of self-government right there, where you're able to say, listen, I know this happens. This plagues me. I might be in the mood for something else, you know, or whatever. But this is something that I have to plan for. I have to overcome. I have to tell myself, this is how I will do this. And how I will engage in these moments, and for you to say at that moment, what do I want my child to remember? That I was busy, that I didn't care, or that I took the time for them, that they were the most important. I hope, and Paige, you'd be the one to really even say, but I think I speak pretty clearly, but I hope that when my children look at my life and what I did in their growing up years, that they can say without a doubt, my mom's favorite thing was being with me.
Well, here, let me say it for you. I know that my mom's favorite thing was being with us kids, and it was evident. Because even though I know you felt a lot of the same things that I do, and that you fought these same battles that I share, you, at least in my opinion, from my perspective, you won those battles more often than you lost them.
Yeah, it took a lot of practice. It really, really did. And the thing is that we're a work in progress as
Oh,
parents,
100%.
we're not perfect, and that's how it goes. And I think that's why you have to surround yourself with some people that are old sometimes, because the old people can
Or at least
say, you will
experienced in the
get
life that you
through
want to
this.
achieve.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Not every old person actually won the battles, but surround yourself with some of those old people that have faced those battles and who have said, who at the end, can say, you'll win this. You'll get there. There will come a point where you won't have to think about it. It will become second nature for you. It will. But it just takes so much practice, repetitive practice. Just like when we teach a child to accept a no answer, or to be calm, or to disagree appropriately, or any of their little skills that we're working on, to do a chore, to make their bed, to brush their teeth before bed, it's all repetitive. They practice it again and again and
That's how
again.
you learn all the best things.
And basically, we're parenting ourselves right now. But we're doing it now. I mean, it's for us too, but it really is for them. Like, we're saying to ourselves, how can we give them a picture of what their future can be? How can we help them love the idea of having children and want to have my life? How can we? Well, we've got to give the true messages. And some people might say, well, the true message is I'm stressed out right now. Well, maybe that's your true message right now. But if you went di deep and you dug deep, your true message is what you want for that moment. Your true message isn't how you feel right in the minute. Your true deep message is what is most important, what is most true. So in the moment when you're feeling burnt out and tired and you don't want to read one more story, the truth is, but what do I want my children to remember? The truth is, I want them always to know that I would sacrifice anything for them, even reading this story. That's the true thing.
Overcoming yourself. But I think just my last little thought on this. I've learned that, and something I share with parents a lot as I mentor them, is that you have to give yourself grace, because as you're trying to learn self-government and adopt it into your way of thinking and your way of living, you're going to make mistakes, because you're creating a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of living. And that takes effort, and it takes courage. And you have to allow yourself, not necessarily to deliberately make the wrong decision, but when it does happen, you say, you know what? That was not an amazing moment. However, I know that I can go and apologize and deliberately make a plan for how I'm going to do it better next time. I tell people that all the time. You have to give yourself grace, because if all you do is beat yourself up, then you're never actually going to have a positive experience changing your life.
True. And truthfully, that's what self-government is all about, that constant repentance and giving yourself that hope and that grace so you keep moving forward to become the best version of yourself, which is the version that we want our children to remember. I mean, sure, we're not perfect and we're going to have our moments, but they can become less and less if we put our priorities in the right place, and if we make those sacrifices for our priorities. Priorities require sacrifice, and I think that's a hard thing to keep doing, but it is a vital part of living your priorities. And I think sometimes we stretch ourselves so thin trying to get the accolades of the world, trying to look perfect on social media, trying to, or imperfect on social media, whatever the new thing is. Anyway, whatever people are trying
Being
to do.
relatable.
Yeah, whatever that people do. I think at the end of the day, that really, truly, when we put our focus on our role and on our children and on who we really are, those self-evident truths about ourselves and about them, then we'll find it easier to make those sacrifices to give them those days that we want them to remember most. So my challenge to everybody at the end of this is,
Homework. We love a good homework assignment.
yes, don't just embrace your role, your motherhood or your fatherhood or wherever you happen to be, but also deliberately do something you wouldn't normally do this week to step out of that comfort zone, to have that moment to remember. And it may not even go perfectly, but just do it anyway. Perfect
Make
is
homemade
not.
donuts.
The point is not the perfect. The point is that you did something, that you said, I'm gonna show them I love this.
Ride your mechanics helper down your driveway.
Whatever it is. I mean, and you don't even, it doesn't even have to be an action. It can just be like, just look in their eyes, just have a laugh, just tell them a story from your life. Just, you know, I mean, it can be like actual fun and games, but it can also be just the time where you just slow down long enough to put them on your lap or just hold them in your arms. So, anyway, it's been so great to be with you today, Paige, and with everybody else. And Paige, I just appreciate how incredibly open and vulnerable you were today. I know you got hormones going as of this baby, but I also know that it was straight from your heart, and I could feel it today, and I think everybody probably felt it. So anyway, I hope everyone will watch The Expectation Trap. I hope you'll help yourself keep learning the skills and things that you need of self-government so that you don't have to have as many bad days. And you can find all of those things at teachingselfgovernment.com. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Teaching Self-Government podcast. For more information and resources to help unite your family, visit teachingselfgovernment.com.
I'm so glad you found a little ladybug, honey. And I would love to see it, but I will come and look at it when I'm all done with my call, okay? Okay, go upstairs, please.
I'm already still upstairs.
Okay, I need you to close the door.
Okay.
I love you.
Bye, bye, Mama.
Bye, honey.
Just